Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
You feel the presence of God this morning? God is good. You ready for His Word? You ready for His Word? Come on. He wants to lift our head this morning. You are a child of the Most High God. If you claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then there are angel armies ahead of you, behind you, beside you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Come on, somebody needs a word of encouragement this morning. The Spirit of God wants to be the lifter of your head today. I came to preach a tough word, but we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. All month long, that's the theme, and chances are, church, if you've got a pulse today, if you're a human being, if you're alive right now, there's something going on right now in your life that you don't understand. There's something taking place right now. Something happened at work. I don't know what it is, but something at work has shaken your stability. Maybe it's a medical concern that has you worried about the future. I came to be real. Is it okay if we get transparent in the presence of God? Maybe a water main broke to disrupt your peace. Come on, somebody. That happened this week. To disrupt your peace and hurt your bank account. Can I get a witness, Jose? A family situation has you emotionally reeling because y'all know family can get on your last nerve. Can I get a witness? Or how about this one? You were praying for something with all your heart and you're passionate. You're believing God, trusting Him with faith, and it doesn't seem to be happening at all. Where are you, God? Is that okay? Can we go there this morning? Because it's in those moments that we got to fix our eyes on Jesus. Maybe you had so many plans and you were confident in those plans, and all of a sudden something just like it was pulled out from under you. Something fell apart, and you're asking the Lord right now in this holy moment in His sanctuary, God, where are you in all this? Where are you, Jesus? Many of us are trying to figure out the season that we're navigating through right now, and that's why it's so vital, church, that even if you're in a midnight hour, even if you're in a dark moment, if you don't know what God is doing, that is when you need to fix your eyes on Jesus. If something in your life is confusing right now, I promise you, God wants us to fix our eyes on Him. He wants that. If a situation has you off guard this morning, it's time to fix your eyes on Jesus. Can you hear the theme this morning? Fix your eyes on Jesus. If you thought it would go one way, but it actually went another, that's when it's so important to fix your eyes on Jesus. I say this because I love you and I want what's best for your life. Sometimes a sudden change can actually be a good thing. Sometimes a sudden change can actually be a good thing, but sometimes it can feel like it's just your life has been sabotaged. And I believe this morning that God is about to help many of us in a significant way this morning. Life Church, I'm here to declare that no matter what comes our way, this church, this body, us as a congregation, me as a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. If I just described a season that you're living through right now, if any of those things hit a little too close to home, maybe a little closer than you'd like it to, God sent me this morning to remind us that nothing catches God off guard. Nothing catches Him off guard, church. If you would, please stand with me all across this room, making this a holy moment for the reading of God's Word today. Every week we're reading Hebrews chapter 12 alongside of one other passage. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders." I want it to be gone. I want it to be off of my life. I don't want to carry it anymore. Who's with me? Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And one more verse in Psalm 37. I want to proclaim this over your life this morning. Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, "The Lord makes firm and directs the steps of the one who delights in him." The Lord makes firm and directs the steps of those who delight in him. I wonder who delights in the Lord this morning. The Lord makes firm and directs the steps of those who delight in him. Though they may stumble, because sometimes we're going to have hard times. Though they may stumble, we will not fail. Come on, somebody. For the Lord upholds us with his hand. I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Turn from evil and do good, church, and you will dwell in the land forever, for the Lord loves the just, and the Lord will not forsake. I said the Lord will not forsake. You're going through a difficult season. The Lord will not forsake. You don't know why this is happening in your life. The Lord will not forsake. Somebody stabbed you in the back and it feels like all hell is breaking loose in your life. The Lord will not forsake his faithful ones. Bow your heads and your hearts with me and let's pray. Oh, Jesus, have your way in this moment. Thank you for your presence, holy, mighty, omnipotent Father, awesome, living God. We trust you this morning. This morning, God, we declare that you are in control. Come on, somebody, give them control this morning. You're in control, God. And we thank you, God, that your word promises you are faithful. What you have begun, you are faithful to complete. So from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, you're worthy of our praise, Jesus. God, you're there for us in good times. And Father, you are here for us to pick us up when things are bad. We may not see it in this moment, but God, you're always providing. You're always sustaining. You're always uplifting. God, you are always blessing us. Even when we don't see it, you're blessing us. You're ordering and directing our steps. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would help us to see you, even when it's hard to see you. And when it's difficult and the season is heavy, God, help us to fix our eyes on you, Jesus. Fill us with strength. Encourage our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. And somebody shouted, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. Thank you, Nick. Fix your eyes on Jesus. How many have been blessed by the series so far? I know I have. All week long, every week, something happens to where I get to fix my eyes on Jesus. He is giving me strength. This has been a week of breakthrough for Life Church. As an announcement, I'm so excited for the unity of our congregation. We had a unanimous vote on Wednesday to go ahead and acquire the property right here at 338 Atlanta Street and 334 Atlanta Street. Our campus is expanding and going to grow, and God is going to provide, and that is one more step closer for us breaking ground for an amazing Family Life Center, and I'm excited about what God is doing. There are so many things that are happening, not just that. Good things are happening. Amen? God is faithful. That's because we're fixing our eyes on Jesus. Any good thing comes because we're fixing our eyes on it. It's not us. There's nothing special about us. It's that we love Jesus. Come on, somebody. And we're going to keep our eyes fixed. Here's what a wise theologian once said. He said this: to trust in God in good times is nothing. To trust in God when everything's going all right, that's really nothing. But to trust God in the dark times, That's faith. Y'all didn't hear me. To trust God in the dark times, that's real faith. See, every week I want to make it a goal as your pastor to encourage you, to uplift you, to spur you on. Every week I want God's word to inspire you and light a fire in your spirit. Every week I want to pump you up. I want to encourage you as a cheerleader and fan into flame the gift of God that is in your life, the fire of God that's in your spirit. Come on, somebody. How many are full of the spirit of the living God this morning? I want to fan it into flame, and I pray for blessing. I pray for favor. I pray for anointing every day over your life and over mine. How many need that? Come on. I need the favor of God on my life. I pray that the windows of heaven would open over your homes and over our kids and our children's children. Come on. This is a multi-generational congregation where our grandkids are going to be blessed. Come on, somebody. Help me preach this morning. Everything we touch, my prayer is that it would be anointed and blessed of heaven. Everything we put our hands to, God, may the favor of God rest on us and establish the work of our hands. But trust me, church, it's easy to trust God in good times. It's easy to trust God when, oh, automatic prayer answered. Thank you, Lord. It's easy to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus when everything's going right. When everything, we got that Midas touch, right? It's like, ooh, everything turns to gold, right? It's easy to keep our, but God sent me this morning to remind us that He is just as involved in our lives when things seem to be going wrong. He is just as involved when it seems to be falling apart. In fact, it's hard to see God at work in our lives when difficult things hit us. That's when we need to fix our eyes on Him. That's when we need it. The psalmist said this, "The Lord directs the steps of the one who delights in Him." He is ordering our steps. Another translation, the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. You've been in church very long, you know that verse. My steps are ordered. I may make plans, but it's God that establishes them. Come on, somebody. That means that God is directing my path. God is directing your path. Even when you don't realize it or see it, church, God is directing your life. Here's some examples from Scripture that make it really obvious that sometimes, just every once in a while, we can be directed by the Lord and not even realize that His hand is moving us in a direction. Here's some examples from God's Word, some of our heroes in the faith. See, David was simply taking some food to his brothers on the front line of battle. He was fulfilling an order given to him by his father. He was the DoorDash delivery boy. Come on, somebody. He was delivering the Chick-fil-A, God's chicken. Come on, y'all hungry? It's closed today. I'm sorry. David was just simply being obedient to his dad, and he was set up with a fight with a giant that would forever change the trajectory of his life because God orders the steps of a righteous person. Here's another one. Moses was shepherding his father-in-law's sheep in the wilderness. Feeling all for years, he felt the heavy burden of weight, of guilt and shame because he had murdered an Egyptian and ran for his life years ago. And Moses was thinking his life was going to be just that for the rest of his life. But then, come on, somebody. But then God encountered him in that burning bush and called him to lead a nation to freedom. God establishes the steps of a righteous person. Ruth was gleaning the wheat that was being dropped from in the field from the workers and the laborers, and she was doing it with her bitter mother-in-law. And this was something that poor people did. In the community, people that were on the edge of begging for food would do this, and unaware, Ruth was unaware that God would put a spotlight on her, a spotlight to capture the attention of Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. Come on, somebody. And he was an example in the Old Testament of what Christ would become for us. We were once lost, but when Jesus stepped in, He redeemed us. He set us free. He bought us with a price. Come on, somebody. He's our redeemer. See, church, I'm preaching this morning that God is working out his plan even when life gets uncomfortable. God is still at work even when life gets... Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in bondage. They were slaves, and they were being trained in the ways of their captors, and they had a simple understanding that God is God and no one else is. They had a simple understanding that love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Thou shalt not worship any god before me. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had this heart posture. They said, even if God doesn't. I wonder if we could get that in our spirits in 2022. Even if God doesn't break through in this situation, I will only worship him. Come on, somebody. And when they were thrown into the fiery furnace doing the right thing. Oh, wait a second. They got punished for doing the right thing. Yes, that happens. Doing the right thing, they were thrown into the furnace, and it made no sense whatsoever. God, why is this happening? But guys, guess what? Then there was a fourth with them that looked as if he's the Son of God, and not a hair on their head was burned. Their clothes didn't even have the smell of smoke because God walked with them through the fire. God wants to walk with you through the fire that you're going through this morning. When Abraham and Sarah could not get pregnant, why, God? Why won't you give us our heart's desire? God was at work the entire time. Somebody needs that this morning. Calling him to be the father of many nations. That's your name. That's who you are. I've called you by that. There didn't seem to be any physical evidence, church. Y'all have done this before. I've prayed and not seen physical evidence. Am I okay? That's happened in my life. But God was still at work, church. God was still at work. The psalmist said, the Lord directs the steps of those who delight in him. See, that doesn't mean where God directs will always be easy. That's our American theology. I want three children, a house with a picket fence. My mortgage is paid easily every month. I've got a great job. I got food on the table. No, sometimes God will lead you to the wilderness. God will test you in the fire. See, when Joseph was beat up and sold into slavery by his brothers and then falsely accused and put in prison, little did he know that God was putting him right in position to become the second in command over all of Egypt's resources. Even though it seemed like everything was falling apart, that was God aligning him to do what God had called him. See, what seemed like a setback was really a setup. Come on, somebody. That may be cliche this morning, but it's a word from God. What you are experiencing right now that is a setback is only going to set you up for the future. Nothing can stop God's hand in your life. Come on, somebody. His problem would actually become what God would use for his promotion. The problem became the promotion, church. Somebody needs that this morning. You're dealing with something, God's going to turn it around for your good. In all of these stories, there was a moment, and it was a moment of pain where it seemed like nothing good can come from this. Nothing good. God, what are you doing? All of this is painful. All of this doesn't make much sense. But God, I'm here to preach this morning. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. God can take what others meant for evil and turn it around for our good. Come on, somebody. I came to preach that God is the author and the perfecter of our faith, so we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, but praise God, his rod and his staff will comfort us, and we can fear no evil. Come on, somebody help me preach that this morning. I don't know if you're catching what I'm trying to preach yet, but I'm saying God is good even when we don't see it. He is good. He is faithful. God is good even when his ways are not our ways. Come on. God is good even when we don't see what he's doing. My Bible tells me in Romans 8:28, and we know. I said, and we know. Come on, church. And we know that God causes all things. Somebody say all things. My God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. I'm looking at a group of people that are called by a living God according to his purpose. I'm looking at a group of people that God fiercely loves. God loves you unconditionally. He died on Calvary's cross for your soul to be saved. He loves you with an undying love, and he's gonna work all things out for your good, because you're called according to his purpose. See, that means when everything seems to be working, God's ordering my steps. When everything is blessed in my life, God is ordering my steps. But it also means that when all hell seems to be breaking loose and nothing seems to be going my way, and I'm frustrated and I'm upset and I'm not understanding why, God, is this happening? My God is still at work ordering my steps, church. I said he's still working. Somebody needs this today. Someone walked in thinking God has forgotten you. Somebody walked in thinking that you're not important to him anymore. That is a lie from the pit of hell, church. God sent me to help us see that he's not forgotten you. He's only setting you in position. You may not see how he's at work, but I promise you, behind the scenes in your life, he's doing something to work all things out for your good. God sent me to encourage somebody today that just because we don't understand doesn't mean God isn't working things out for our good. Just because we don't understand doesn't mean, guess what? We don't have to have it all figured out for God to move. We don't have to have it all figured out for God to make a way where there seems to be no way. Come on, so I'm glad for that. I'm glad that he's God and I'm not a good enough, I'm not smart enough. I don't know, I'm not omniscient. I'm not able to see into the future, but God is. And so he knows. See, I'm preaching better than y'all responding this morning. Come on, somebody. God sent me to remind us that he is working all things out for our good. Even when we don't see it in our lives, we've got to fix our eyes on him, church. I've been sent to preach this morning that our God is sovereign. That's an important word in our theology. I said he's sovereign. That means he intersects our lives on a continual basis. He's always involved. That means when your car breaks down and you don't understand why, yeah, it stinks. I gotta fix my car. Anybody with me? My car is fine, but this is an analogy. But it stinks when you have car problems. I get in the car all the time, and my son looks at the little gauge that says how many miles you have left to drive. And I don't know about y'all, but I drive that thing till it's empty. And every time my son Lucas gets in the car, he's like, oh, Dad, there's only 17 miles. What are we going to do? Oh, Dad. And yesterday we got in, I was on fumes. And Lucas was like, Dad, there's only 4 miles. We can't go to church. What are we going to do? I said, son, we're okay. But when the car breaks down and you don't know why and you're frustrated because you had to be somewhere, yeah, that stinks. But maybe your car broke down because the reality is we didn't see that if we kept going the direction that we go every single day on our normal routine, that there would be a head-on collision that would end us. But God has more in store for our future. So he allowed the car to break down to keep you safe. And we didn't even see it. All we saw was the breakdown where God saw ahead of us and said, you know what? I'm going to spare this person's life because I still got things for them to do. We don't understand some of the ways God works, but he does stuff like this. Come on. God knew if you maintained that normal direction, man, you might not be here tomorrow. So he broke the car down. See, the breakdown wasn't really a breakdown, is what I'm trying to say. Come on, somebody help me. It's the tool God was using to save you, to rescue you. I'm saying sometimes the worst thing happening in your life is actually the tool that God is using to protect your future. Sometimes, I know that's not fun to receive. I want the best for my... Yeah, sometimes the hardest thing is the best. Sometimes the worst thing happening in your life is actually the tool God is using to protect you. That means when you get unfortunate news from your employer And it seems like a demotion. I'm just being real. Come on, anybody with me? It seems like a demotion, and it's really discouraging because you thought for sure you'd be promoted. You thought for sure you'd get that healthy raise. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm going to get paid. But instead, after a meeting that was unexpected with your boss, you feel devalued and shortchanged. I'm just preaching honestly this morning. Y'all okay? That means, can I just tell you, what if that means God is just about to put you in a position that is better than a paycheck? He's about to put you in a position to fulfill your calling and do so much more than getting paid. Come on, somebody. He didn't create you just to get paid, church. You are created to change the world. So instead of focusing on the difficult situation, fix your eyes on Jesus. I'm proclaiming a new job, a new career, a new adventure is on its way. And sometimes it takes being forced out of the old to get the new. God sent me to remind us that He is still in control, church. He is still on the throne of heaven. He still holds the whole world in the palm of His hand. The earth is still His footstool. He sent me to remind us that God can and will use life's disappointments to promote us. He will use our disappointments. He will turn our mess into a message. Come on, somebody needs that in your spirit all week long. No, this looks bad, but my God is about to promote me. This looks terrible. I don't know how He's going to salvage it, but I know He can make something out of nothing. Come on, somebody needs this. Even if we don't see it, even if we don't realize it, God is still at work in every area of our lives. He's still sovereign in our lives, even when we don't understand what's going on. In fact, when we don't understand, that's when we need to fix our eyes. That's when we need it the most. Jesus said it so straightforwardly. I love the way He said it in John chapter 13, verse 7. This is the New Living Translation. He said, "You don't understand what I'm doing, but someday you will." You don't understand what Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said this. You don't get it. You don't understand what I'm doing right now, but you will. That's great news, church, because maybe right now I don't understand. Maybe right now I don't get fully why this is happening in my life, but Jesus said it with His mouth, and when Jesus says it, it's true. He said, someday you'll understand. Someday you will. That's so comforting to me. That's so assuring. He said we don't always understand, but we will. See, here's what I got from that. It may not be immediately, but eventually Jesus will help us understand why. Why? Why is it a dangerous question? Why is this taking place? I don't get this. Why? You don't understand, but someday you will. I'm going to give a couple quick examples from my personal life and to help illustrate this truth, and I hope it makes sense this morning. It was so formative in my life. It was when Jubilee and I went to ministry school 800 miles away in Rockford, Illinois. I call it the frozen tundra of Rockford, Illinois, because they actually encouraged us to go to the tanning bed because we never saw the sun in the winter. It was scary. We were about 10 miles from Wisconsin, away from friends and family and anyone we knew. And we went to this program because a friend had recommended it to us, and we felt the leading of the Lord to go and be trained for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And about halfway through a 9-month program, church, can I just be real? I was absolutely miserable. I was so close multiple times. It wasn't just one bad night. It was multiple times where I wanted to give in and just give up. Jubilee and I had been dating for almost 2 years before going into this program, and one of the requirements of this training was that first-year students, which we were a part of 120-plus first-year students, one of the rules, and you might say, well, that's pretty strange. Yeah, it was. It was weird. We were weird for doing it, but they said absolutely no dating your first year. And so Jubilee and I were dating for almost 2 years before joining this program, and we said, God, you know what? Whatever you want from us, we'll obey. Nothing's more important in our lives than you. And so we will put our relationship on the altar of sacrifice. And I'm praying, Jesus, this was my posture for the first couple months. Jesus, let this be like Abraham and Isaac, that when I put this relationship on the altar and I lift my hand to destroy it, you stay my hand because I love this girl. And every day they said, if you're on one side of the room, you're on the other. Don't talk to her. Back then it was don't email her because social media wasn't even really a thing yet. They said, don't communicate without supervision. Let this relationship be truly sacrificed to God. So every day I would watch and I would worship in an amazing setting like this, and I would be on this side of the room and see the most beautiful girl on the face of the planet on the other. Just every part of me wanting to have communion and community with her. I literally, about halfway through, I put a ring on layaway, church. Because I said to myself, I don't ever want to live without her again. And it was terrible. It was God-awful. And I'll never forget, there were a couple times where I was so heartbroken that it was hard to see anything good about what God was doing in me and through me. And there was one Wednesday night where the service was amazing. It was an incredible youth ministry of over 1,000 kids that we got to serve and love on. And I saw just my future wife across the room, unable to speak to her. And I just got fed up and I said, God, I'm done. I left the church and I drove to my apartment and I started packing my stuff. I said, God, I quit. I can't handle this anymore. And the next day, this is what I did. I don't know if y'all have ever done this in a crisis moment. I called my parents. Y'all ever done that before? I called my mom and dad. Y'all better believe both of them did not pick up. I learned later on they were in a movie. Thanks a lot. I called my oldest brother, who is like the sweetest guy on the planet. He can see the good in any situation. He's got that gift where the scumbags of the earth, he's like, oh man, they're a great person, man. Don't you see that? They're good people. That's my brother. He's got that gift. I called him hoping because I needed some of that. Rub that off on me, Brian. And guess who didn't pick up? Brian. Called my middle brother, who's like 13 years, a Cobb County police officer, seeing the worst of society. Jaded, cynical. He's the conspiracy theorist guy. Me and him don't get along sometimes because he always is like, no, don't trust anybody. Hate everybody. Keep people at a distance. Now I'm like, I love you. Love everybody like Jesus did. And so he and I are always clashing. Y'all want to know who picked up the phone? My brother Eric. And he picked up and said, Brian, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. She was across the room. And I'm here and I'm worshiping Jesus. And I'm trying to do what God called me to do. And Jesus is breaking this relationship. And I just don't even, I can't take this. Y'all, the ugly cry. It was the ugly cry over the phone. And he's thinking to myself, my brother is in a cult. What are they doing brainwashing him? I'm about to have to drive 800 miles to save my little brother. He gives me no hope, no assurance. He's like, get out. Come to my house. I got a room. It's not what I needed. But something happened to where I said, you know what? I've done too much. I've gone too far. I've surrendered too much to hold back now. Something in me said, you know what, I'm going to unpack my bags before anyone sees. And I stayed the course. Y'all want to know what happened the next night? The next night, a man named Gabe came into my apartment. He had never visited me before. He was a second-year student, a leader in the program, and he came and he sat down in my kitchen. I'll never forget the moment. It was so dimly lit because we were six guys, broke as a joke, living in a nasty apartment. All we did was the George Foreman grill with a bag of chicken. Come on, somebody. It smelled bad because we didn't clean good. And Gabe sat down with me, and he looked me in the eye. And he read my mail. He looked at me and he told me a story in 2 Kings chapter 3. And he said, there were three kings that came together to fight against the Moabites. The Moabites were God's enemies in the Old Testament. And the scripture in 2 Kings chapter 3, to paraphrase, it says that God led these three kings to work together. And so they go out to war. And the scripture says this in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. It says, so the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. And after a roundabout march of 7 days, to clarify, that means a roundabout is 7 days one direction, 7 days back. That is what a roundabout is, a full circle. And the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. Think about that for a moment. And they marched 7 days in a desert, 7 days one way and 7 days back in the 7 days of heat, 7 days not making any real progress, 7 days roundabout journey only to find themselves where they had started. Somebody, that resonates with your story right now. You're working, you're toiling, you're trying to make progress, and yet you're still exactly where you used to be. They did not sense where God was. They were thirsty. They were worn out. It was a struggle. Come on, anybody resonate with this story? This is what Gabe told me sitting across the table, knowing full well by the power of the Holy Spirit that I was on the brink of quitting. And he said they weren't automatically winning the war. Y'all know the prayer we want to pray? Right now, God, give it to me now. They weren't automatically winning, and I want to invite the band to come as I close. And Gabe told me, sitting across that kitchen table in our dimly lit apartment, he said, Jonathan, you're tired. You're so tired. You've been in a dry season, and I know that you want to give up. He read my mail, church. I know you want to quit. I know you want to stop because you don't see how God is using the season of your life for your good. But look at how God works in our lives, even when we don't see him. And he proceeded to tell me that the rest of the story, where the three kings called on the prophet of the Lord, Elijah, and they said, tell us what we need to do, because what we're doing is not working. Some of us need to do that this morning. We need to call on the name of the Lord. We need to call for a prophetic word. We need to call that God would give us the inspiration of what to do next. And they called Elijah, and Elijah said this in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. He said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Wow. Go dig. Dig a little deeper. Even though they were tired, even though they were thirsty, seemingly making no progress, somebody resonates with this morning. In an uphill battle, God tells them, go dig ditches. Go dig ditches. And I looked across this table in that holy moment, bewildered, and I wondered what in the world Gabe was trying to tell me. And I think he knew I was confused a bit because he got really serious real fast. Y'all ever had one of those conversations with a friend where they're just calling you to the carpet? And Gabe said really quickly, and with passion in his voice, he said to me, and I say this to you as a congregation, he said, God sent me to tell you, keep digging. Come on, keep digging. Somebody needs to keep digging because God is going to prove himself faithful. He's going to prove himself faithful. Somebody needs that this morning. You're tired, you're worn out, you're thirsty. Keep digging because God is going to prove himself to be faithful. He said, Jonathan, look at what happens if you keep digging. Look at what happens if you don't quit, if you don't give up short. After 7 days one way and 7 days back in the dry heat of the desert with no energy left in the tank, they dug ditches, church. They did what God said and they kept moving and they kept going. Come on, somebody. They didn't see God. They didn't understand what God was doing. They didn't even recognize God's plan for the moment. They just trusted his word, even though they didn't recognize it. They were fixing their eyes on Jesus, church. And this is what happened. The next morning, God filled those ditches supernaturally with water. And I'm believing that for every person in this church, that God, like a well rushing out from within every person at the sound of my voice, like rivers of living water are going to flow in your life if you'll keep digging, if you'll keep focused. And Gabe looked across that table to tell me, if you keep digging, Jonathan, God is going to bring a season of refreshing back into your life. He's going to fill the hard work. You don't understand why, but it's going to happen. And God sent me, church, this morning to remind many of us in this room, just because you don't see him, just because you don't feel him, just because you don't understand what he's doing, doesn't mean God is not working in your life. See, if we will dig ditches in our dry seasons, church, if we'll dig ditches in our dry seasons, he will be faithful to bring seasons of refreshing back into our lives. I've seen it, I've felt it, I've experienced it, church. And God did exactly what God said he would do, because our God is faithful. God filled those ditches with water, and the next morning, this is what happened. The enemies of God, the Moabites, they looked at their opponents from a distance, and the reflection on the water, the scripture says, looked as if it was running with blood. And God supernaturally showed their enemies a weird vantage point, and they thought, oh, look, those three kingdoms, they fought against each other. Let's just haphazardly walk in and take the spoil, because they killed each other. And God straightforwardly handed the enemies of God on a silver platter because they chose to keep digging. See, church, if I had given up and went home like I wanted to, if I had quit, if I had taken my brother's advice and said, you know what, I'm done with ministry. Man, I know Jubilee would have dropped me like a bad habit. Heck no, I'm not marrying a quitter. I would have missed out on the best thing that has happened to me other than my salvation. If I had quit, I'm confident that this is not where I would be today. But God has blessed me and refreshed me. And when time gets tiring, when seasons get dry, I keep digging, church. I keep digging because I know he did it before, he'll do it again. He did it before and he'll do it again. He did it before and he'll do it again. This morning, as we stand all across this room to create a holy atmosphere for God to reveal himself in a profound way, I'm saying it's one thing to trust God in good times. It's another thing to trust him when everything's not going well. But here's the question this morning. Where are the people of God that will trust him even when everything's falling apart? Where are the people of God that are going to keep digging, even when it's a dry season? Where are the people of God that are going to keep persevering when all that's in you wants to give in and give up? Everything seems to be falling apart, because here's the deal. We keep pressing forward because we know that we know that we know that God is just as good in the hard seasons as he is in the easy seasons. See, it wasn't long ago that God put us to work renovating our campus. As soon as Jubilee and I got here, this is something that was supernatural, a conviction of the Holy Spirit that was put on our hearts. As soon as we started, God called us to clean up the kids' building. There was so many things that needed to be fixed. We cleaned out multiple rounds of the biggest industrial dumpsters we could find. We spent hundreds of dollars five different times on dumpsters, just throwing junk from the 70s and 80s out that was not being used. Come on, I caught flack for that. I'm sorry if that offended you, but God put a conviction on my heart and said, you clean up that building. I didn't know why, because we didn't have many kids at that time. God said, do this, and so guess what? We started digging. And I didn't understand it, because day after day, week after week, we would make progress. In one room, we would clean it out. In another room, we would paint it, and we would keep digging. And one by one, each room started looking better. And it was hard work, church. It was hard work, and we couldn't put our finger on it as to why God wanted us to do it, because we didn't see the full picture of what God was doing, but we had this urgency in our spirit. Come on, an urgency, keep digging. And even though it didn't fully make sense, we kept our eyes fixed on Jesus. And we kept fixing and cleaning out that kid's building. But little did we know, church, can I testify that as soon as the project was finished, not fully finished, but as soon as every room was clean, that was the week that Miss Kimberly Morey, a founder of the Montessori school that we house, would come on a Wednesday night just to look at our property to see if it would be a fit. We had no idea. We did not see what God was doing, but even in that hard season, we kept our eyes fixed on Jesus. We kept digging even when it was hard, and we fixed our eyes on Jesus. And church, can I testify that because in the hard time we kept our eyes fixed, we now have 78 students on our campus every single day. God was ordering our steps. He was ordering our steps the whole time. We didn't fully understand. In one of the hardest seasons of ministry during a global pandemic where we're like, God, what in the world? This is hard. He was ordering our steps to set things in motion, to have a partnership with a school that is enabling us to someday, very, very soon, to have a family life center on this campus. Hallelujah. So this morning, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what's going on in your life, but here's what I do know. God wants to use it for your good. He wants to turn it around. If you're hurting this morning, if you're confused this morning, if your spirit is broken today and you want to quit because God, you feel like God has forgotten you in some way, God sent me like Gabe sat across from me at that table to tell you this morning, keep digging. Will you keep digging, church? Will you keep pressing on towards the high calling? See, I don't know why you're going through the challenging season you're going through right now, but I do know that God wants to use it for your good. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we need you this morning. God, there's difficult things happening, but God, we're going to trust you. God, in the hardship, God, in the pain, in the discouragement, God, we're going to fix our eyes on you this morning. This morning, all across this room with every head bowed, every eye closed, you'd say, Pastor, you've been preaching to me this morning. I came this morning discouraged. I came this morning tired. I came this morning dry. I came this morning feeling like a roundabout march in a desert. And I need to keep digging. If that's you, all across this room, I dare you to make a declaration and say, Jesus, I'm going to keep digging. If that's you, all across this room, and you'd say, Pastor, I know, I don't know what's going on, but I know God's good. And so I promise you, I'm going to dig. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. If that's you, lift up your hand. All across this room, I want to pray for you. Father, thank you for every lifted hand. God, I pray that a spirit of encouragement would flood right now in this room. God, that you would be the lifter of our heads today. God, that you would give new strength, new purpose, new power from on high. God, we can't do this on our own. We can't do this in our own might, but by your spirit, we can do it, God. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would give fresh revelation to every heart. God, help them to see the way you're at work in us and through us, even when times are tough. And God, I pray that you would give us a tenacity to keep digging this week, to fix our eyes on you. We trust you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.